Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 99%. I'm recording here with Elliot.
Hi, everybody.
And Marilyn.
Hey, team. How's it going?
And we are going to talk to you a little bit about training through the holidays. The holiday season is upon us. Everyone is probably going to be a little bit busier than normal, get a few wrenches thrown in the works. And we're going to spend a few minutes kind of talking about how to navigate that and feel like you haven't totally lost everything and be a sane human on the other side. I guess to kick things off, I'm going to ask Elliot maybe his main takeaway for when people have a block of time, let's say like 3 weeks getting through the holidays, what he wants them to come out the other side with.
My main takeaway, I want you to come out on the other side of the holidays or any block of time where you happen to be extra busy. Maybe you have a big project at work that takes a lot of your time, whatever it is. I want you to come out of it healthy and make sure your body's working. And you're not sick, you're not injured. And that's really it. I want you to be healthy. And Jesse's laughing at me and I'm not sure why, but...
that's a really good point, right? We need to be healthy in order to train. So getting through the holidays healthy and in one piece is always the goal, right? In any block of time. So that's good. Marilyn, what about you?
Yeah, that's kind of a curveball question. I wasn't expecting the whole, like, the main takeaway.
It can be any takeaway. Right?
So I think, like, if we're specifically talking about the holidays being busy, I think it's that time of year is the thing I encourage a lot of people is it's so far out from your race season. You've got so many other things going on. I think it's a wise time to invest in family and friends and other things. Because, you know, you're going to ask for their support throughout the year and you're going to ask to be away a lot, to be busy a lot, to be, you know, your time occupied, big training blocks when it is race season. And so this is like kind of cashing in on that time where if you're going to have to choose between maybe doing an one more extra workout through this time, I would say invest your time wisely through this period in friends and family and maybe, you know, those other things that are going to give you more freedom and more support later in the year. So, you know, in terms of workouts, what are you going to get your most bang for your buck? What's going to be the most benefit towards staying as, like we'll get into the thick of it, of sane and as most fitness that you need at this time of the year through the holidays? But I do think actually the investment through specifically if we're talking November, December, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, the investment should be you come out of this period of time and you've got your friends and family support behind you for the rest of the year. That would be my main concern for people.
I feel like I showed up to the test and was given a different test and you had all the right answers. That's like good point. That's what that meant. Good point.
You said the same thing. That is healthy and happy.
No, it is, but you came at it from a different direction and you're right though. Yeah.
I think there is in talking about like that balance, that life balance with sport, I'm totally stealing this from Jesse Thomas. I'll just throw that out there. But one of the things he said that really resonated with me, it's kind of reiterating what Marilyn said, is that it can't be a day-to-day balance, right? Like if you are going on an 8-hour training day, you're probably not going to see your family that much that day. But you can think about it as like a yearly balance of like, I want to spend X percent of my time with my family, X percent of my time training. And you can balance that out throughout the year where there's certain times where like, maybe you need to go in hermit mode for 6 weeks getting ready for an Ironman and you're going to be a miserable grump and probably not spend very much quality time with anyone, but you can make up for that now when training is a lot less important and you can really, you know, shore up those relationships with your friends and family and making sure everyone else is healthy and happy and kind of put those relationships and those other people first and foremost and really cut down on the training time. And I think that like, I know one of the other points that we were chatting about before is being like mentally and emotionally healthy. And I think that that's one way you can really do that is, you know, making sure the people that are close to you are you guys are all like together and on the same page and really got some quality time together. And that can make you like more like emotionally healthy than maybe you would think when you're kind of always like stretching that throughout the season. So I think, yeah, spending some time, not only being physically healthy, but, you know, having a glass of wine with your friends, staying out past 8 PM, doing those things that like, you don't really get a chance to do throughout the year.
Yeah. It's a good, it's a good investment as far as like you say, you know, if you, you're going to ask people for, you know, a good 12 weeks through the middle of the race season to say like, hey, I'm just going to be pretty much personally checked out. Cause even when you are home, maybe you are too tired to, you know, take care of the yard or do a few extra chores, or like you say, takes, you know, go out with a group of friends. It's like, oh, well, I'm not going to really want to have any alcohol. I got to be in bed by nine, like all of these things. And so if you just let that leash go just a tiny bit, you know, it's all of a sudden you have all these people behind you when you say, look, now is the time I got to lock down and really push towards something. Now they're excited and they're actually your support system because, you know, they know that you're going to invest some time in them later in the year. And so it becomes like a really healthy balance and everybody's a lot happier. And although you might lose a little bit of fitness, if you look at the big picture of, okay, when do I actually need to be fit in the year? It's probably not a bad thing either. And honestly, that's why I actually do for my team through the month of December. It's first December 1st, right to the 25th. And we even have a MCC top staff team competition going on. I put on a run challenge because what's the most time efficient, you know, it needs to be a little bit mindless, maybe a little bit more fun. And what's the fastest, like the best bang for your buck in terms of time efficiency through the holiday season. It's like, can check on my runners and go out for a 20 minute run every single day. And is that going to have a positive impact in your season? And then, you know, the workout's done, you're doing it with friends, all of that kind of thing. And then, you know, maybe you are out till 10 o'clock that night, you know, at a Christmas party or a New Year's thing or whatever. So.
Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can always kind of sneak in a run. And it's like you said, you know, you can get a decent run in 20, 30 minutes and feel like you did something, feel kind of accomplished for that day. Before we get totally into training, I do want to kind of circle back to one of the things that Elliot mentioned about being healthy. And I think that one of the things I really encourage people to do is not to totally drop what they've been doing that has been working throughout the season. So like for me, I need to stretch my quads in foam roll and it doesn't need to take more than 2 minutes. And I can do it with a soup can if I forget my foam roller, like, you know, you can do it with anything. And so it's just like finding those things that will keep you physically healthy that, you know, have been working all year. I think it's really important to say, okay, like if I only have 5 minutes to do something today, I'm going to think about like, what are the couple of things I can do that has been working and I'm going to keep doing that. And so, yeah, I think maintaining a PT routine is one thing I really try to encourage. It's easy to let go, especially when you're not training hard, right? You're not getting those symptoms like, oh, like my, everything feels fine. But I think maintaining that consistency in your PT routine, and even if you're making it a lot shorter, but just trying to do a little bit of something can really help you come through healthy.
And to that point, even if it's only 5 minutes, a couple times a week, what, you know, whatever is your worst issue you want to get done. But as well as what Marilyn was saying, the hardest sport to get back into is running. You know, you can leave swimming, you come back, you're not going to break your humerus because you weren't swimming. You know, you might have tired lats, but that's no big deal. And same thing with cycling, you know, you're not going to break a bone, but if you don't run for a month and you come back, then you have to more or less start at square one. And that's the most important thing. So even if you're just running twice a week for 20 minutes, like that helps you enable to jump back in with only a 40 minute time commitment. I would say anything less than that, well, maybe you could just be going for a walk, but even walking would be better than not being on your feet. So
yeah, you're kind of setting yourself up to be able to start training when the holidays are over, because you've kind of maintained a little consistency, you've been running. So you have enough like structural strength and like your joints and tendons to continue that. And you haven't totally like regressed and can't handle impact.
Correct. Exactly that. And if you can only do a few things, like the only swim, bike, run training that is necessary for me to have an athlete be considered like leaving their off time or their busy time as healthy, if you will, in quotes, is to make sure that their bones have had loading. And so like, as long as you've had like loading from, even if it was just hiking, that's still better than nothing. So at the very least some hiking, but a couple short runs would get the job done.
Yeah. On the health end of things with, I mean, I know that we're sort of leaning on running right now and we'll get into more of the training thing. The other thing that is great about that, not the time efficiency. And then, like you say, easier to get, you know, the one thing that you really don't want to let go of. But the other thing is obviously through the holidays, you're going to let go a little bit more. Maybe your nutrition's not as good. You're at a few more holiday parties. You're eating a little bit more cake and baking and drinking and those kinds of things. And you don't want to let your weight get, you don't need to be in race weight or race shape or anything like that, but you don't want to get to a point where you're looking at the end of, you know, going into January thinking, oh man, I really let myself blow out here and this is going to be a project. And running is going to help keep that at bay. So, you know, more so than if you swam every day or, you know, those kinds of things. It's just, I mean, like I said, we'll get into that just a little bit more, but it's, if in terms of bang for your buck on time limited and the health benefits coming out of the month, that's going to help with that as well.
Jesse, do we want to go straight into the food aspect of this off that comment?
It sounds like you do. So we're there.
Do you have any starting points or should I take it away?
You got it. You're rolling right now.
So I'm going to disagree. You're right that I agree with that. Like running would be the most efficient calorie burn. But I think people are going to eat what they're going to eat. And if to your earlier point, if people are going to enjoy their holidays and be with their friends and family, like it's almost like you get negative points if you show up to the party and everyone's eating 7 cookies and you only eat one. Like if you can do it sneakily, you get the points. But if people notice or they call you on it, like it's like you're almost like the Debbie Downer, and like there's nothing
wrong
with.
I'm saying eat the 7 cookies, but then go. You're gonna go for a run, so it's gonna at least help combat that a little. I'm not saying don't eat the 7 cookies.
Okay. I just want.
Yeah, I'm saying eat the 7 cookies, but at least like, go for a jog.
I was like, you have not had some of my cousin's cookies, like that. You're gonna eat a lot more than one of them. but the point is, but it's also like perspective. Right. So like, I don't think it's ever a good idea to consider like running combating the cookies. And like, so I would just say like, get that out of the way. Like you're running because it's a good thing to run and you're hanging out with friends and family and enjoying that atmosphere. But I think what's important to remember is like food is fuel. And if you're going to be training less, you're probably going to be eating less. That doesn't mean you can't have treats, et cetera. But I would just say like, oh, well, my main course probably needs to be less because I'm training less, but you still want to eat a good, healthy diet. And then just know like, yeah, I might come out of this a pound or two heavier, but the goal is to like, say like, oh, well, maybe I'm going to have pie instead of like my normal second or third serving of normal food. Like most triathletes are, we're not eating just like one plate of food. I think we've all been there where you're on like the fourth. I mean, the number of times I've seen Jesse go back for the 7th bowl of cereal and you're like, why didn't you just pour the whole thing to start with instead of have 7 tiny bowls? So it's more like that idea. Jesse's laughing because he knows I'm super telling the truth right now.
7 bowls of cereal is legit. My friend Justin and I had this joke about like, is 6 eggs okay? And then we saw one friend one day have like 6 or 7. We're like, looked at each other and we're like, okay, apparently 6 is okay. Like 6, we're still okay with 6 eggs.
I've always felt bad going over 4.
No, 6 is fine. Actually, the other day I had 6 eggs and I texted him. I was like, 6 is okay, right? And he knew exactly what I was talking about. He's like, yeah, 6 is okay.
Oh, man, that's good. Yeah, so I guess, I mean, that's basically, I don't even know if I made a point, but...
No, I think we're actually saying the same thing. Is obviously you want to be able to enjoy your holidays and be okay with like you're going to come out of the holidays, maybe, you know, ideally not in like race shape or those kinds of things. And so let all that go and totally enjoy. However, like what's the most bang for your buck and as far as making sure you don't get to a point where it's an unhealthy month, completely unhealthy. It's like, well, running is going to help balance that just a little bit better for most people in terms of, like, if they're looking at their day and going, I have 30 minutes today between these, you know, different holiday things that I've got going on. I'm baking all day with my mom for gifts or something like that, you know, that kind of thing. It's gonna, I feel like that's the most time efficient for helping come out of it healthy, you know?
Yeah. And oh, sorry.
No, that was it.
There's a difference between like having a cookie eating contest a couple of times versus being like, it's the holidays, so I eat 7 cookies every night. Like it's like when you're 3 days before Christmas or whatever, like you don't, like there's no real need. Like if you're thinking like that, then there's probably something throughout the year that you're depriving yourself of that you really shouldn't be depriving yourself of. And so like that would be a good time to like take a step back and be, what am I doing in my day-to-day life that makes me think I need to be eating all these cookies on a day where I'm not training? You're probably not hungry. That doesn't mean you can't eat a cookie or two, but if you're thinking of like that going overboard where a lot of people end up with the multiple pounds of weight gain, like we're looking at, like if you come in one or two, like you're good. But if it's more than that, you probably are making some change. Like you need to make some mindset changes earlier on in the year.
Man, I'm only supposed to put on 2. I'm in a situation already. Christmas isn't even here yet.
Well, yeah, you started skinny enough, but yeah.
Yeah, just to echo that, I do think it is like, you know, okay to think about, like you guys are saying, like, you know, portion control and having those moments where you're like, oh, tonight I'm going to a holiday party. Tonight I'm like not going to worry about it. But then kind of like you're saying, the next morning when you wake up, you're probably going to go for your run or whatever. You don't need to be like, oh, before I run, let me just like eat half this pumpkin pie and then eat the other half when I get back.
There's a difference between fun and gluttony.
Right. Yeah. Picking those moments where it's like fun and really enjoying it and then trying to like kind of be yourself the rest of the time.
Yeah. It's pretty fun to eat half a pie.
No, especially, it's not, because then there's another half that needs eating.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, yeah, if there's half a pie left with the hungry people around here, then I will definitely grab the whipped cream and take it down. But should we roll into like some more training specifics, like things you would recommend people do, like specifics of running, maybe some workout examples?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you have any to start with?
I guess the one thing I wanted to mention that I'll just start with before we get into like super specifics is like being creative, you know, say you're not at home, maybe you're staying with friends or family. When I was home, I would like ride my uncle's mountain bike around on the road and it was super heavy, super slow. Like it didn't really fit me, but I could put the saddle in the right spot so that, you know, I wasn't no risk of injury, but, you know, I didn't even bring pedals or cleats. I just threw on some like trail shoes and bombed around this mountain bike for like, you know, a couple hours, a few times when I was home. And like, it's not like perfectly ideal bike training, but I rode it up a few hills and like, it was kind of hard some of the time and I felt better after. And I got to ride a bike. And so I think, especially triathletes can be somewhat rigid about, you know, riding a TT bike in a certain position and, you know, being totally like dialed in all the time. And, you know, like, I think it's a good time here to say, hey, like I'm going to let this go a little bit and like ride a random mountain bike or, you know, do like go grab some inner tubes and do some like swim cords that are like totally janky, but it's set up in the garage and I can do it for 5 minutes and like makes my shoulders feel a little bit better. And so, you know, like being able to be a little bit loose and not worrying so much and, you know, finding some maybe alternative solutions that, can really help out when, you know, you don't want to like travel with your race bike to go home for 4 days. So yeah, that would be my non-specific to kick things off.
Yeah. I think one of the most common things that I get going through people's minds is, you know, if it's going to be this period of time where it's really far out from the race season and it seems very hard, is doing all these like little things like you just talked about, is it worth it? Does it really make a difference? Are we better off just to not do anything through this time? So you get like the group of people that like, oh, you know, just better. Am I better off to do nothing through this time? Does this even make any difference at all? And then you get the other group of people that are, you know, daily movement and exercise and just that routine and feeling that way is so important to them that like it's something embedded in them that actually gives them health and sanity throughout their day. Just that's who they are as a human being. They need to get up and do something every single day. And so I think, you know, figuring out the balance, number one, which type of person are you with that? And then addressing those questions, because both of them are, you know, both of them are, neither one of them should be like disregarded, like, hey, that's, you know, don't worry about it. You don't need to be worrying about exercising right now. Like you should just let it go. Like if it's part of someone's makeup that they need to get up every day, whether they're visiting their parents in the middle of nowhere in Canada on a farm and there's nothing out there, it's like you figure out something that, and that would be me when I go home. It's like, you know, you figure out something, like you're saying, Justine, that they can do every day that's productive. Then on the flip side, someone else who might be completely demotivated through that time think like, what's the point? Why am I even really doing this? Then, you know, it's like encouraging them to, you know, what difference does it actually make, and outlining, hey, why is this important, and what is the biggest impact towards what's going to help you come back out of this season into next season healthy and strong and ready to go, and why even bother doing it, you know? So I don't know if you have thoughts on that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think it is good to know like which kind of personality each athlete gravitates towards, so you can kind of gear their instructions based on that. You know, because for someone who needs movement, then you kind of need to reassure them, right, that like if they miss a day, life will go on and it'll be okay. Whereas the other people, you kind of might just say, well, 20-minute run, it has a huge advantage if you do enough of them over the time. So figuring out what people need to hear what thing in order to get the correct message across, I think is really beneficial to getting them like through the holidays in a good like mental sanity spot.
And to your point on adventure and Marilyn, your point on activity or just something, right? This is just a great time to diversify, right? Like you guys made me think of my first job ever. I worked in a mailroom in downtown Chicago, and my coworker, I think he still has like, he's done the most amount of Chicago marathons in a row. And he did his first one ever by disco dancing. And he, like, this is a real story, Jay, if you're out there listening, you're my hero. So he like, literally he had run like 50 miles before his first marathon in the entire year. You know, he was like, but he discoed super hard, and this was like late 80s, and he was still doing it. And he's like, yeah, man, like if you go disco dancing for 3 hours, you're going to be pretty fit. And then it made me think of like my aunt right now during quarantine, my aunt and my cousins, like every day they dance for like half an hour in the evening, just as like a sanity thing, just to move their bodies. And whatever it is, right? If you're going dancing, if you're going to like do the skier, or if you're going to go, for a lot of people in colder spots, like you're skiing or you're snowshoeing, it's not a swim bike run. Like that's not bad. Like move however you want, whatever is fun. And for some people, it's like they spend the whole day sledding, you know, or building a snowman, and like you're outside, you're moving. And I think most people should remember, like, if you can do it with friends and family, and if you're moving your body, it's like the best of both worlds, and you don't have to be doing a swim, bike, run specific thing. So that's, I guess that's my point.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think there's a lot of fun ways to move your body that we probably ignore the rest of the year because we're a little more focused. Yeah. Let's say you have some small windows to do some swim, bike, run. Do you have any kind of like go-to example workouts? And let's assume people, like, you know, they're traveling, so they don't have like a ton of great metrics. Like they don't have their power meter with them. Maybe they've got a GPS watch or something, but so kind of staying away from like power specific, or maybe they're swimming in like a random length pool because it's in a hotel or, so trying to like make it so you could kind of do a workout anywhere. Do you have any, go-tos?
Yeah, Marilyn, I'll take it. For the listener, we're pointing at each other on Zoom.
Hot potato.
Who is it? All right. So, if I were to answer this question, I would say, just, you have X amount of time. whatever mode of whether it's swim, bike, or run, transporting your body that you want to do. I would just fill it with easy aerobic exercise. Nothing more complicated than that. You have an hour to run. Your an hour run's not a challenge for you. You go run for an hour. You've got 45 minutes in the pool. You do a real basic warm up, more or less. You knock out some aerobic XYZ, whatever distance makes sense to you. Cover that ground. Same thing on the bike. Just pedal, even if it's easy on a spin bike. And then if you were going to add anything to that, it would just be like building 50s in the water, maybe some speedy 25s with plenty of rest. On the bike, you might do some high cadence stuff, nothing more complicated than that. And then running, you might do a stride or two, whether it's flat or uphill. And then that's basically it, but just lots of easy aerobic stuff. And if you really want to, you can delve into something short and speedy with plenty of rest.
Yeah, I completely, I mean, basically we're on the same page there. I do think if you've got really short amount of time, having some short, fast stuff in there, you know, if you've got something like, say you've got a 30 minute, you've only got 30 minutes to go for a run, go for a 30 minute run, add in 10 by 10 seconds pickups, you know, like you say, some uphill, some downhill, some on the flat. So 10 seconds fast, 50 seconds easy, 30 minute run. I think you're going to get more out of that, especially at this time of year, than just slogging out. Even if you do have an hour, I mean, if you're looking at, I'm really time crunched and I'm stressed, let's do, I would say to the athlete, let's reduce the amount of stress trying to squeeze in an hour. Let's just do 40 minutes or 30 minutes and add in those, you know, 10 by 10 second pickups on some rolling terrain, maybe even pick a grass park or, you know, something that's a little bit different surfaces than what you're used to, and do a little cross country fartlek type thing to your music or something like that. I think you're going to get, you know, a lot out of that and keep sort of like snappy and peppy and a little bit of strength and get the most out of the workout. Similar on the, you know, on the bike, you know, if you're doing something like grabbing your Uncle Joe's bike, like you said, Jesse, you know, pick some hills, zoom up and down them. You know, maybe you pick some mud to ride through or whatever, some different skills, that kind of thing. If you're strictly looking at like, oh, I have this, you know, recumbent gym bike or this, you know, whatever spin bike here in the corner that no one's used and it's covered in dust for 20 years or whatever, same thing. You might only have a 20 minute workout, but if you can do, you know, some short blasts or some cadence variation, likely those things don't even have a cadence monitor or anything like that. You're just maybe doing, you know, 15 by 20 seconds fast, 20 seconds easy. I think you're going to get just a little bit more out of that than saying, oh, I'm just going to sit on there for 45 minutes and keep my heart rate low. That would be my advice. And real similar in the pool. If I had to say you had to only two swims in 2 weeks, one of them would be as fast as you can to the other end, full recovery until you're not breathing too hard, and go again, do that for 30 minutes continuously. So swim as fast as you can, totally recover, swim as fast as you can, do that for whatever time duration you have. And the other one would be, like you're saying, a continuous swim. You say, I've got 30 minutes to swim, I'm just going to swim continuously for 30 minutes. And those will be the two workouts you do for that whole time.
I would get in a 4x25 in half an hour at this point. I want you all to know. Right.
Whatever you got. That's it.
I don't want to take up all this time telling a random story, but I'm going to tell a random story. I one time was like in decent like training mode, and a bunch of my cousins and like aunt, uncles, were like a group of guys, were all going on a bourbon tour in Kentucky. We're staying in this random Airbnb, and we're going to be there for like 3 days or 4 days. So it wasn't long enough for me to bring my bike, but they said there was like a spin bike there. And I get there, and it's just like you described, like this random spin bike that literally like no one had used in like 20 years. And I set it up outside, and I think I brought like a watch and a heart rate monitor. So I was kind of doing like some heart rate intervals, and I would wake up early before we'd start our bourbon tour, and I'd be out on like this back patio, and be like frost, and I'd be like breathing super hard. And yeah, I just remember my cousin walking out at like 8 o'clock in the morning, not in the best state of mind, you know, maybe had a few too many bourbons the day before, just opening the door and was so confused because I was like huffing and puffing. And he's like, what are you doing? I don't even understand. But you know, I got the workout done and was able to go on the bourbon tour, and you know, felt a lot better about going about my day with that workout done.
Background to that story for the listeners who want to know the truth. I was coaching you then, and I'm almost certain that you were huffing and puffing because you were also still possibly drunk and or hungover. And I remember we were like planning it. We're like, well, what can you actually do when you're hungover that much? Because you need to enjoy the bourbon tour. But that's to your point. Like, that was part of it, right? You knew you were there to have fun, but you also knew, like, I can't just go on a week long drunk. Like, you need to go on a week long drunk and ride that spin bike in the morning or go for a jog. And that's what you did. And like, it worked out well. You came back. You're like, that was fun. You and your cousin are like super, you know, super close. And that's what you're there for. So.
All right. Fair enough. But
I thought that was a good thing. I thought you handled the
early
really
morning,
well.
The early morning Vegas jogs are probably the best ones. You know, you're out on the strip doing a jog and you're like, nobody else out here is jogging, but I'm seeing some good stuff from the night before.
Yeah, that's a good place to see some action early in the morning. Right? But yeah, I just to circle back to the training stuff, I do think it's important to maintain that kind of like easy aerobic work. And then if you are super strapped for time, or like, you know, let's say you've been running a lot, so getting in a couple of 20-minute runs is not going to probably support your like maintaining your aerobic base. Like hitting a few strides, I think is that it can be super helpful and also make you feel better and feel like you're moving well. And I know I always like, if I do strides in the middle of a run, the second half will be faster and I'll just feel better, feel more fluid. So yeah, and I think hitting something like that in all three sports, whether it is like 10 by 15 seconds or 10 by 30 seconds on the bike, that's, you're just kind of going hard, or like you guys said in the pool, like, you know, some hard 25, some hard 50s, just to kind of feel like you're moving and get that turnover up and yeah, kind of maintain that good positive feel in all three if you can. Yeah, I think they'd be pretty beneficial.
What I would say to avoid it through these times is anything that's going to, you know, we were talking about duration. Someone says, oh, well, if I'm going to do intervals, I've only got 30 minutes. I would steer athletes away from trying to do like any kind of stressful extended threshold type stuff that they think, oh, well, I've got 30 minutes. So, cause we're talking primarily about, you know, short bursts, you know, short, fast stuff, whether it's high cadence or maybe it's in your biggest gear and you stomp down for 20 seconds and it's more power orientated or whatever the energy system that you're trying to tackle there. But the main point that we're all making is that these are short and short and peppy and fast, or created through like short power, that kind of thing. I think,
not a lot of overall stress.
Yeah. So instead of saying like, oh, well, if short is great, longer, harder must be better, because let's admit that most of us triathletes, that's the way we're programmed to think. So if you're looking at your 30 minutes and thinking, well, if they're saying this, let's turn it into 4 minute reps or 8 minute reps or 12 minute reps. I think that becomes like too stressful and not really productive at this time of year. You know, I think if you're saying, well, I've got 50 minutes, I'm gonna do 4 by 10 minutes at threshold. That's probably too hard of a workout for this time of year through the holiday season. So just to give people like some guidelines, while we all agree on the short stuff, like if you're going to say like maybe what not to do, I wouldn't jump in a pool and say, well, now today's the day I'm going to try and fit my best 15 100s at threshold, you know, if and some random pool that you haven't been in and you've been out drinking bourbon all night or whatever, because certainly it's tempting to maybe try that kind of stuff, you know, and then I don't think it's got a good training effect, and quite potentially could have a negative impact mentally if it doesn't go well. So yeah, that just wanted to make point of that as well.
And yeah, sorry, Elliot, I just talked over you, but I'm going to keep going. threshold work like that is really hard hungover. So if I wouldn't even try it. I would say strides way more fun. You'll enjoy that a lot more. So yeah. keep it a shorter, harder.
And if you had a bad night of sleep because you're hungover, like where this is officially the How to Handle Hangovers podcast, but but like Yeah, it's just not worth it. Like even strides at that point probably isn't worth it. Like, are you hydrated? Did you get enough sleep? And we haven't really touched on that, but like sometimes it's hard to get a lot of sleep because you have like late nights hanging out with friends and like, that's great. And you should do that. And maybe that means you can't even do strides. So maybe you just do a little bit of spinning or a short, easy run or whatever it is in the pool, just enough to kind of like get moving. But we're not trying to be faster at the end of this. We're trying to be healthy. And like you said at the beginning, Marilyn, like basically like have good relationships, which are like the foundation for your support network for going down the road.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yeah, just to come back with one of the points I started with is, yeah, I think paying attention to those things that are really important, like sleep, hydration, like things you need to do to keep your body healthy. Those things, you know, you don't want to completely neglect them during this time. So, you know, keep yourself healthy, have fun, and trying to get in a few little workouts to stay moving.
Well said. Are we signing off?
I don't know.
That sounded,
I was waiting for Marilyn to like come back with something.
Well, that was so sign off-ish. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
And this is Walter Cronkite.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Right. I do think too, like it's, if we're going to really dive into details, you know, a lot of us are used to doing, if we're, you know, we talk about the more advanced athletes, you're used to doing a morning session, an evening session, you know, 7 days a week. You might look at this period of time and say, okay, I'm going to get up early. I'm going to knock out my one workout that I do. Maybe people's lives aren't quite as complicated as we're making them through the holidays. They still do have time to train, but they only have 1 hour or needs. So it's like, instead of waiting till the end of the day when possibly everything has dominoed into, you know, a period of time where you need to be at a dinner or you're hustling from work or stuck in traffic because it's busier, those kinds of things. So I'm going to commit to continuing to get up a little earlier. I'm going to knock out my 1 hour workout in the morning. That's done before anyone's even up and the day started. And then the rest of the day is committed to work, family, friends, busy traffic, shopping, parties, whatever. And you just know that. And you also know, hey, I'm used to going to bed at 8 or 9, but I'm going to be in bed at 10, but I'm still going to stay committed to that because that's going to be the best thing for me. And we're going to let go of the evening workout. You know, we're going to say, well, I'm just, as long as I get something done every single morning, we're good. I think, you know, if you keep those kind of, maybe make those kinds of deals with yourself and with your family, you say like, look, okay, through the holidays, I'm going to invest more in our relationships and our holidays and having some fun. And I'm going to let go a little. However, what I need you to give me is this 1 hour. You're going to let me get up super early and give me this 1 hour every morning. And then the rest is your time. And I think if you negotiate that with the people around you, you're going to feel that balance and happy. It's going to be knocked out early in the morning. And then, you know, you'll come out of this time period feeling maybe just a little bit more run down because you're doing a lot more other stuff that you're not used to, but that's okay. You know, you'll get out of the, I don't think anybody gets out of the holidays not feeling run down, whether you exercise or not. So at least you did something. And then you reboot for a week or two after the holidays. I actually think sometimes people jump into trying to get back to big training too quickly after the holidays because they think, well, thank God that's over. So now I'm going to start ramping it up. And it's like, just give yourself like a couple weeks breather to let all that sort of settle down and your life routine to get back to normal. And then start working back up towards your normal load where maybe your morning, evening, that kind of thing. So there's just some suggestions in terms of maybe what you're used to and what you could let go of based on knowing what the typical norms are for a lot of, you know, more advanced athletes.
I agree.
I also agree.
Three to nothing.
Check. Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for helping me get through the holidays. I appreciate it.
Anytime, Jesse.
Of course. And yeah, like I'll just add one last thing, you know, just to give people ideas if they're looking for ideas. And I know I already mentioned this, but one thing I did, I started this about 3 years ago, is I looked at the month. I actually did exactly what we're talking about. I looked at the month of December and went, people are really time strapped. It's really far away from the race season. Where could we get the most work for our buck that's going to have a positive impact on the season? And people are going to, you know, really enjoy it and have a lot of fun and it's going to blend in well. And that's actually why I created the December Run Challenge. And I started, like I say, I started that a few years ago. And I just said to people, you know, every single day from December 1st all the way to Christmas, you're going to run every single day. And then we made a little Strava competition and, you know, there's awards at the end and there's a little bit of, you know, fun between everyone. So because there's also that network of support of, hey, we're all going to run every day together, you know, you come out of December in pretty good shape. And when I looked at it from a programming standpoint of view, from when I started to do this before, do this in my program versus before when I didn't, I found that the impact that everyone got from running for 25 days straight in December, and then we had a little recovery through like New Year's, and then when it rolled into the January, February more structured triathlon training, the actual overall impact on everyone's race season was really good. I actually saw an opportunity when you see trends in your athletes where there might be a small hole in your program. I saw a positive trend among the, like, if you're taking like statistics on the whole number of athletes and where like you're looking as a coach, where could I do better for everyone? It actually for the rest of the year had a positive impact because we spent 25 days in December all running together. And then we went into January that was more balanced. And then February was focused towards a big volume training camp. And then that launched us into early season race prep mode for the rest of the year. And that actually, that flow of things was easy mentally, emotionally, fun, and had a positive impact on the overall programming that carried through the rest of the season for people's run performances. So that's a little insight of, if you're thinking in terms of coaching, and you reevaluate your program every year. And I'm always looking like, okay, you see trends in all your athletes. Where are things that I could do better to make everybody better? I did that. And it's actually been a positive thing. So you can sort of manipulate things around like that as well.
Awesome. I actually really appreciate you sharing the insight into that. Cause I'm usually like hesitant for any sort of like, things like that encourage maybe something outside the norm, say like running 25 days in a row. So it's it's cool to hear that they're like, it is kind of backed up by a positive trends that you've seen, and that it, you know, can be a really good thing for setting up the season.
The first year, I was nervous, especially running. You know, as a coach, you look at the run, you go, that's the most high risk. And in terms of injury, it's also the most high risk. And running every single day for a group of athletes, I really felt like the first year I was like, this is going to be a bit risky, but I set up the programming so it was, you know, achievable in some way for everyone. And that just simply because we didn't have a lot of access to bike and run and all of the, or not bike and run, bike and swim and all of the other stuff through December. It's like, if we just focus on 25 days straight of running, I mean, people were less injured throughout the rest of the year. They were faster overall throughout the rest of the year of running off the bike. I mean, it was like literally all of those things just took a shift forward. And the first year I had the same hesitation where I was like, man, 25 days straight of running for a whole group. And we ended it with a 5K running race. What's this going to do to everyone? And I will tell you, in like year, you know, three or four now of doing it, it's been really positive for everybody that does it. So.
I've done multiple things like that myself, and it tends to work out pretty well, right? It's just that frequency. And if you're keeping it short runs and low intensity, and you just kind of get yourself in a groove, and mentally you tell yourself, well, I'm doing this X amount of days in a row. And for most triathletes, that means they finally slow down. And like, that's when, oh, okay, if I do this easy enough, then I can get those days in a row. And then you can start to build on it. And most triathletes like, don't have that mindset, because you have a swim, you have a bike, and that change in perspective often gets people to slow down, and then they can run multiple days in a row, and the next thing they know, they're PRing in their run races or just off the bike.
Yeah, what's interesting for people is like when you have to do something every single day for 25 days is like week three, you start to see like a lot of people learn a lot of things about themselves, so that it really ends up being like, you know, this funny opportunity that falls into the Christmas season that's almost hidden, you know? Mm. And yeah, you know, everybody's really good the first week and they're like, oh, and then week two, you start to see some different things from different athletes. And by week three, you know, so 25 days is long enough that, you really do work through some things with some athletes mentally, emotionally, physically. And you come out of December with sort of a new little toolbox in your pocket for the athlete as well as a coach for everyone who does it. So that's a fun way if you're trying to be creative and like all these things that we wanted to present to people in this podcast is like, okay, we've only got so much time. We want to have the right attitude, but we also want to get something out of the holiday season. So if you're a coach and you've got a program, you might think of things like this, like look at your group of people and think, okay, how can I do something positive that's going to impact the rest of the year for all of my athletes? And that could, I'm just talking personally for my group of people. What I noticed, I mean, that could be some, I've seen people do things called big steel challenges where their athletes lift the most amount of pounds throughout a month. We used to do that with Endurance Corner. People do swim challenges. I've seen that with a lot of different programs. So, you know, you can kind of look at your group and your program and maybe see if there's a place for something like that.
Awesome. That was really good. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Elliot, do you have anything else for the good of the order?
No. Well, either we're going to discuss beer mile strategies now or in another podcast. So
that's a whole nother podcast. There's so much nuance to the beer mile.
I have never been able to complete a beer mile. I've DNF'd everyone I've ever tried. Yes.
And that's why
you need to hire a coach.
I just want to state this as a Canadian, that must be why you live in the US now. Because you can't do a good beer mile. They kicked you out.
I mean, I just removed my entire Canadian card. Not only am I cold in 60 degrees, I don't know how to ski. Well, I do know how to ski. Okay, I'm not totally. I know how to ski. However, yeah, I cannot. I've tried a beer mile. We used to do one every single Christmas, a beer mile and Halloween. I've DNF'd every time. Hopeless.
Well, we can talk about it. I've beaten some of Canada's best runners in a beer mile, and it was not because I was fast at running.
Dude, I need to coach you. I need to coach you. I am good. I am like spot on beer one. That shit goes down fast. I run my fast 400. Second one, a little more burping, a little more foaming. Beer three, forget about it. That sucker's not going down. That's where the heck, that's what I need. We need to debrief Elliot.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap this up, but I just will tell you, drunk Elliot, after he's won a beer mile before, has just said, you just need to be so thirsty. You just want to drink that beer. Oh, sober Elliot.
Wise words.
But anyways, another time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll have to continue that one next time. I feel like it's probably a good place to wrap this one up here.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you guys for joining me. That was a ton of fun.
Thank you. Thanks, Marilyn.
Talk to you guys next time.
Cheers. See ya.